everybody. Welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. Ordinarily, we're a podcast covering the original Transformers animated series from three different perspectives: the lifelong fan, the lapsed and returned fan, and the clueless outsider. But currently, we're turning the tables, and the clueless has become the clued, and we are studying my favorite show, Robotech. We're covering the series episode by episode, also going into production and cultural impact of the show. I am Ed. I'm joined, as always, by Evan. Say something.
Hi.
And Jehu.
You can see my name on the bottom of the screen, man. Something.
Yeah, I'm on the screen. This is for the audio only contenders.
Oh, yeah. Well, if they don't know my name, my voice by now, there's a problem.
Well, that is very true.
Yes.
So maybe they're just coming in. Maybe they're just coming into this. So what's going on with you guys? What's happening?
And so I showed y'all we recently, this is something I don't know if I brought up or not, I've recently got chickens because my wife loves chickens. They're little dinosaurs. They're poop machines. So they're kind of adorable in their weird murder bird looking faces and stuff.
Right.
And we've been trying to do things, and she's like, let's build a run for them so they can run around the yard. Like, that's great. And she's like, well, I had them before, so I want to make sure everything is like tied up really tight. There's no way predators could get in. Like, yeah, like the bobcats we have running around here during the day. But
Right.
regardless, you know, so we're doing this, man. Like, my hands had not been this cut up in a long time, and it's been the whole weekend. I feel like I just worked a different job all weekend, but it's cool. And then we realized we can't lift it, so it's in the garage still. So that's, yeah. You know, I didn't want to build something in the mosquito-y, probably tick-filled backyard. And like, let's do it in the garage. And then we're like, oh yeah, lumber's really heavy, so it still sits there. That's
It's
what's
a
up
little
with me.
weighty. So, is this the fourth week in a row that we've had chicken-based content as the filler?
It's kind of creeped into my life, so probably. I probably talk about it more than I even realize I do.
Did you get the chicken ice cream yet?
Dude, not yet. I have to find it. Dude, I don't live around you. I gotta find where it is.
Well, come on
But
down.
my Asian supermarket doesn't have that. They have really good, like, fresh shrimp from the university. They've been raised in these pens and stuff, and beautiful fish, and all kinds of like, you know, soup dumplings that I've never seen before in Pensacola.
Ooh.
But I can't find the chicken ice cream.
I found chicken ice cream.
No, it's a disappointment.
I just don't leave the house enough to find chicken ice cream. I have no adventure in my heart.
You were all hyped up that one time. You were like, I'm going to go over there and get it right now. And then you just.
But I didn't go right then. And then I settled back into, you know, I'm not leaving my tomb.
No, the hypeness just passed you by. It was like a wave.
Right, right. Well, you got to act on the hypeness, or otherwise, yeah, it'll if you don't, you know, hit while the iron is hot, as they say.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
yeah, your steel will not forge a blade correctly if you don't. So that's the way it is.
You know what? Speaking of that, though, speaking of leaving the house, first of all, either of you ever listened to the Scott Aukerman, Adam Scott podcast that sometimes is about U2, sometimes is about REM, sometimes is about Talking Heads?
I've heard clips.
Yeah.
I haven't
yes.
listened to the same thing, but all
well,
the way.
Yes,
it's pretty
I
good,
have.
But they do this bit where in the middle of the podcast, they'll switch between those podcasts and a number of other fake podcasts they have.
Right. The lounge or whatever. They go into
right. So, you know, I was thinking about that. We kind of have, like, in this podcast, like a sort of holy trilogy of podcasts now. There's like three podcasts that are all one podcast.
What's the other one? The chicken.
Well,
movie.
There's also, you know, Evan and Boo's, like, you know, comics
right,
and such
right.
like that. And then
yeah,
there's
right.
More Than Meets These Guys, which is you guys and me, a special guest star. And then me finally being at the launch of a podcast, something I've never done before.
You weren't on the original.
I was not. I came into, Real Phonies, I think about like 60 episodes in or something like that.
Oh, crazy. I've never gone back that far on that, in that show, and listened
yeah,
to it. Episodes.
Originally, Ian was the third guy, and then he started being like too busy to be there all the time. So I came in to fill in for him, and then Ian just went away.
So I have a question that reminds me real quick. Are you like the Shadow Stevens of this show? Or are you just like the special guest star who's always there?
I like to think of it. Well, see, again, on the Transformers More Than Meets These Guys, I like to think of it as Heather Locklear on Melrose Place.
That's a better
I'm
comparison.
always listed as special guest star, even though I'm always there. But on this, on the Robotech one, I'm a founder.
Part of your founding member, right.
But I brought this up because I wanted to a second switch back into Transformers because I needed to tell this to someone who might be excited about it. And Evan, you might be excited.
Likely.
As far as collecting Transformers go, deluxe class, Voyager class, I'll try to find those in the wild. Any bigger than that, I'm going to pre-order to make sure I get it. But
Smart.
I missed the pre-orders for Studio Series 86 Megatron. So I was
Same.
at Target the other night and it was there. And man, I've not got a dopamine hit like that in years. Like, and
Something about
like
finding in
I
the
saw
wild.
it from a distance too, which is crazy for me because I'm blind. But I saw it and there were other people in the aisle, and I was like, I'm gonna fight somebody over this if someone grabs that. You know that thing that's been going around, could 100 man beat a gorilla? The question was, could Jehu beat a gorilla over Studio Series 86 Megatron? And I think the answer would have been yes, but I didn't have.
How many of them were there on the shelf?
There was just the one.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Nice. All
It
right.
lives at my
That'd
home
be a
with me
really.
now. It was the happiest I've been in years.
Dude, this
That's
would be a
awesome.
really bad story if he didn't. He just brought us all of that just to let us down.
I was wondering where it
Probably would have been a
was
funnier story.
going. Yeah.
Like,
I don't really collect toys anymore outside of just buying like little things, that look cool on my desk. But
Just
friend of
Warhammer
the show,
40K
Bob.
miniatures.
What's up? Well,
Just Warhammer
miniatures,
40K is.
that's different. Those are game pieces. Those are jewel
Right.
objects of wonder that are used in a game.
Right. Yes.
But I don't like buy toy. I don't really buy action figures toys anymore, except for again, I like little gashapons and that kind of stuff
Right.
every now and then. Anyway, friend of the show, Rob, lives in Orlando, and he and I both collect like D&D books, like old D&D manuals. So when we find old
Right.
stuff, we'll trade or whatever. But he is a massive, massive G.I. Joe fan. And he messaged me the other day and he's like, "Hey man, what are you doing right now?" I'm like, I'm not doing anything. He's like, "Are you out and about? Like if you're out and about, can you go by the Target out on 9 Mile Road?" I was like, "What?" I was like, "What do you want?" And he's like, "There's like the Black Series or the Elite Series or whatever, the bigger
Yeah.
guy who's around now." He's like, "They have Breaker there and he's super hard to find. He goes for like 3 times retail right now. And supposedly they have one on the shelf." And I was like, "Oh," so I was like talking to my wife. I'm like, "My buddy Rob wants me to go to Target and see if they have an action figure for him." And she was like, and she has no connection to nerd stuff at all. And she's like,
Right.
"That sounds awesome. You should go then try to find it for him. He would love that." And
Right.
she's never even met Rob. And I was like, "Okay." And so I'm on the way there and he messaged me and he's like, "Hey man, like BrickLink or whatever, BrickSeek, the thing that lets you look at stores inventory. One of those is
Right.
for Legos, one of those is just for stuff." But anyway, he's like, "Hey man, it says they're sold out, dude. I don't think they have it. So just don't go if you don't want to." I'm like, "Well, I'm already halfway there and it's Target, so whatever."
Right.
But they had two of them on the shelf, and I was so excited that they had two of these Breaker action figures on the shelf. So I know how you feel. I nerded out about that. So it
That
wasn't
was
for me.
basically like a contact high there.
It really was. And what's funny about it is that he lives in Orlando, and he was like, I was like, "You want me to ship this to you?" And he's like, "Nah." He's like, "Nah, man." He's like, "I'll be up in a few months, so just hang on to it." So it's like under my sink. It's like wrapped up like in plastic under my sink right now. So in my bathroom.
Ed, you might know this story, but my buddy Zach has a pretty great not getting an action figure story. Way back in the days of KB Toys, and they would do those 12-inch. Ed already knows what story I'm
I
talking
was
about.
with him. I know the one
They
you're
do these
talking
12-inch Marvel
about.
figures.
Marvel figures.
And Zach was really looking for Deadpool, and this was
Deadpool.
back before Deadpool ruled the Earth. Deadpool was kind of a niche character at this point. And he's walking into KB and he sees it right up there displayed in front of the counter where like the register is and stuff. And he's
So they,
walking
they
up
had they
to
had a
it.
giant shape display.
Yeah.
They had a big castle made out of those Marvel figures, those
Right.
toy or yeah, whatever. I think they were toy biz, like the big Marvel figures.
Think
Those
so,
were
yeah.
cool, but they were always on clearance. They were always like
Right.
$5.99.
Well, I mean, that was the KB. That was their strategy. They would put clearance stuff up front to get you in to buy the expensive stuff in the back. But he's approaching the Deadpool. He's literally like reaching his hand out for it, and a little kid just runs by and grabs it and like looks around at him and goes, "Oh,
Oh,
snap."
snap! I know,
And
I
then
was with him when that happened.
you were with him?
I was with him when that
Oh,
happened.
that's
Yes. And
awesome.
this kid was probably 11 years old, and he was dude, he was as wide as he was tall. And Zach just went, God damn it. And this kid goes, "What were you looking for?" And he's like, Zach was so deadpan, like, "What's in your hand?" And the kid goes, "Oh, Deadpool." So I don't know if you know this part of the story, but we followed that kid around the mall for like an hour. And Zach was
That
like,
that's
"Hey
that's a
man,
problem.
do you want to sell that? You want to sell that Deadpool?" And he's like, "I'll give you $10 for it." And the kid's like, "Well, I paid seven for it." And so Zach ended up giving him like $20 for that figure.
So he paid
Yes.
what it should have been a retail price at its KB, which is on
Right.
clearance.
Yeah.
Hey.
Dude. Dude, the crushing defeat on Zach's face, that was hilarious. So,
Yeah, man,
yeah.
so the beauty of all that is, the age we were when we actually had disposable income, like that was the thing. Like it was a niche thing, like action figures. So all these, there's so many stories, dude. It gets to the point, it's bad when you get to the point where the people at the KB and the Toys R Us and the Walmart before it was the Supercenter on Davis Highway, they started to recognize you. Like, here's that guy again. Come on, let's see what we got
Right.
over there for you. You have a
Yeah.
little shame. You're like, yeah, all right, let's just go. Let's get over with. Yeah, dude. I think it's just the age range, and yeah, even though you're too cool for that now, and you order all your Warhammer 40,000, game pieces or miniature action figures that don't move.
They don't move.
Yeah,
Well,
exactly.
yeah,
They're
dude,
in action figures. Yeah.
they don't usually move. Yeah, you're correct.
Anyways.
Oh, good Lord. So yeah.
Okay, we can go back to the Robotech podcast now.
Oh, okay, yeah, so Robotech, yeah. So but in this episode, in this digression into the history of Robotech, I wanted to go into the name Robotech itself, because did you guys know that this is not the first thing in the US that was actually called Robotech?
I think I did know
I
this, but I
know
can't
this,
remember
yeah.
the story.
So originally Robotech was the name of a line of models that Revell put out. Or actually it was two different series of models. There was Robotech Changers and Robotech Defenders. Robotech Changers was mainly just variants of the Veritech fighter model kits. But these were cool because you could actually transform. They're already played with. You could transform them, which is rare even now. Like if you buy like a Macross model kit from Japan, usually you get like Skull Leader, like very like fighter mode or
Right.
battle mode or whatever. So this was cool, and they were pretty rugged, made to be played with. They're a little dated by modern standards, but they're actually not bad kits. I have a couple of them, and they build up okay. The Robotech Defenders, on the other hand, was like these did not transform, and they were a couple of the Macross Battloids, but also robots from the show Fang of the Sun Dugram. And y'all, Fang of the Sun is the best unused metal band name ever. Like, this show just generates the best metal band names, and I am all in for somebody being called Fang of the Sun. I might just have to do it myself.
Gives a shout out if you
That
do that
that
is
there
a
you go.
great name.
It's fantastic.
I honestly think I have never been moved to have children, mostly because I believe any child I would have would probably see Mad Max 2 times.
Yeah, of course they
And
will.
I
Oh,
don't
they're
think
going
any
to.
child of mine would be cut out for surviving in those times.
Right.
But man, maybe if I had a kid and named it Fang of the Sun, it
Yeah.
would like a be a boy named Sue situation.
It would just have to be the hardest kid on the face of the earth. It would,
Right.
yeah.
Okay. No, yeah, I mean,
So
we already know a dude named Blade.
we do know a kid
Blade
named
Handler.
actually we know two people named, I know people two people named Blade, but
Well,
yeah,
I
so
was gonna touch on real quick. That's actually my first introduction to Mospita. I had the Super Gobot Psykill model kit.
model
That
kit.
was just a Mospita
The
Cyclone.
most beta. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. The Leader One kit was actually the Alpha Fighter from New Generation.
I
But yeah,
miss there being a model aisle at toy department stores.
same.
Yeah, me too. As a guy that builds models, me too. Because I hate having to go to there's literally the best place to buy models in this town right now is a shack in the backyard of a dude's house.
Whoa.
Literally. John's Models, he's open 3 hours a week on Friday and Saturday, and by appointment on Sunday. But he
Wow.
has it's the best stocked hobby shop you'll ever see.
What does this guy look like?
He looks like every old model builder guy that you can imagine. But it's a great job, and he's a cool guy.
The only reason I ask is there used to be a guy that had a comic book store in Milton, and those were his exact hours.
No, I know the guy you're talking about, and I think that I'm 99.9% certain that's a different dude.
Okay.
But yeah, I
Yeah.
do remember that weirdo shop that was like, yeah, it was like the most random hours. It was like when
It's
he
been
quit his day job and opened up the shop.
closed for 10 years, and all his inventory is still there.
Really?
Really?
Right? No kidding. Huh.
No
Okay.
kidding. It's the weirdest thing. I've asked every shop in that neighborhood if they know anything about it, and they're like, man, we don't know nothing.
I mean, somebody's got to
Right?
be paying the rent on it, though.
Like,
Like,
that's my thing. He's paying the rent. There's a number to call for emergencies, but I don't know. I don't have the bravery. I don't
how do I
have the
dox?
intestinal fortitude to call that number and
Give
say,
those
hey,
comics as an
what's going on
emergency.
with your comics?
Yeah, there's an emergency. There might be leaking in there, man. You gotta save those comics.
Don't dox the guy I haven't broken into, but where's it at?
It's not hard to find. It's on like Main Street in Milton, like right out as you're going over the bridge to go to East Milton.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's like on the
If you
right.
turn left, it's right there. Right by
Right.
the whatchamacallit pizza, the Boomerang pizza, which is
Oh, it's there.
delightful.
Oh, it is there. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I was wondering why it's never open. Okay. So I always try to go by because they just live down there. I'm like, I'll just go by here in one weird and Saturday during the day and never open.
No,
Even
it hasn't been
it's
open for at least 10 years.
Milton's flooded several times and it's still not open.
Right.
Crazy.
Okay. That's
So anyway, the Fang of the Sun models, these weren't connected to Robotech or any of the source material in any way. But also there was a tie-in comic book that DC did back then. It was a two-issue Robotech Defenders comic that came out before Robotech the show came out. Apparently, this book is very bad, and it was so bad that it was supposed to be three issues, and it was so bad they made them condense two and three into one issue and canceled it
Wow.
after two issues. But this was written by Andy Helfer, and Jehu, you may know Andy Helfer because he was the guy that revamped Justice League back in the 80s. He was a
Yeah,
big part of
he was
DC.
the
Yeah.
editorial on that. Absolutely,
That's
yeah.
right. He also wrote a really cool Dead Man series that Jose Luis Garcia Lopez drew, who I love.
Right.
He also wrote a Shadow,
I
the
was about
Shadow
to say that shadow book he wrote is bonkers.
with Bill Sienkiewicz and
Bill Sienkiewicz and
Gaffigan
later
from
Kyle Baker.
Kyle Baker. Yes, right,
Yeah,
took it over, and
just
it got canceled.
awesome
It
book.
was so weird that the owners of the Shadow canceled. They demanded that it be canceled. Wow.
Right.
So I may need to go back and read that, but that book was. But here's where it gets kind of like, huh. So it was drawn. Where it ties into our Robotech is that it was drawn by Judith Hunt. Judith Hunt did a lot of kids' books back in the 70s and 80s, and she did stuff like Highlights for Children. She did
Okay.
some other comics stuff here and there too. But she got into comics because she was married to Chuck Dixon. Chuck
All right.
Dixon, the writer Chuck Dixon, who wrote the Transformers Heart of Steel comic. And they co-created the character Evangeline.
Yeah.
Not Evangeline, the Rob Liefeld book, but Evangeline, like the Matthew Sweet song. Who was like this, like yet again we mentioned Matthew Sweet. Anyway,
It is a Kimiko book, right?
first it was
First, okay, first.
it may have been Kimiko,
I think it
but
started at Kimiko, but when everything got weird at Kimiko, they moved
moved it
first.
for yeah, or Pacific or one of those other
Yeah.
but she still writes and draws that book now, even though she got that character in the divorce from Chuck Dixon.
Right.
So she still writes and draws that book to this day with she and Chuck Dixon's son, whose name is, no kidding, Ben Dixon, one of the main characters in Robotech.
Yay, hey.
So it all comes back. It all
That's
comes back.
crazy.
It all comes back together. So, but anyway, so Revell owned that name, Robotech Defenders, and which essentially blocked Harmony Gold from making toys, from selling toys, because they couldn't, because they were already importing all the Revell was importing all the Macross related stuff. So they ended up getting into like a mutual li they did like a joint licensing agreement with Revell. And that is why Robotech is called Robotech and not called Macross in the United States, because they essentially in that deal they had to name it that to tie it in so that they could both share the
I did not know that. So
That's the further convolution of Robotech and Harmony Gold.
yes, it gets yeah, exactly. And man, I was what's funny is I was talking to some guys a couple days ago while I was playing Warhammer, and I mentioned doing this show, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, we're doing a like a sub-series on Robotech, and one of the guys just looks at me and like clenches his fist and just goes, Harmony Gold. Harmony
That's a
Gold. So
common,
I was like, that's, you're not wrong. But yeah, but anyway, but this episode, oh Lord, he folding. We're doing Spacefold, episode 3 of Robotech.
Spacefold for some reason sounded vaguely lewd to me. In my notes, I wrote down Spacefold. I don't even know her.
Oh yeah, okay. It made me think of it was when I was starting to write the thing for the intro this time, the history lesson as it were. I was like Spacefold, and I thought of the song 1901 by Phoenix, and as the chorus of that song is fold it, fold it, fold it, fold it. I was like, oh, whatever. But that made me think that I hate that band. I love that song, but I hate that band because they played here. They played at the Handlebar years ago. And when they played, my girlfriend at the time and I got into a fight, and she went to see them without me and made out with the bass player. And I didn't find out until like she forgot to make her live journal entry private. And man, buddy, I was mad. And man, screw Phoenix, is what is
It's
my.
great because I feel like saying that to a Gen Z or even a millennial would be like saying, and she forgot to turn the t stone tablet over.
Yeah, that's accurate.
That is the most 2003 thing you can say to somebody. Yeah, I was real mad. I was extremely mad about that, and I still hold a grudge against. I'm friends with her now. We're fine, and I'm married, and I don't care about any other woman on the face of the earth except for my wife. But I'm still mad about that. I still carry a grudge against that bass player from
Well,
Phoenix.
I would be mad mostly at the carelessness. I would be mad at, don't you care enough about me to lie to me well about this?
She
You
did. She
know?
just forgot to flip it to private. Like it was just a technical error. If she would have done that, I would have never known.
And then worst part is an unforced error. She could have, and if you're gonna be like, if I don't know, I almost kind of I don't know her. I don't know the situation. I almost feel like you're kind of like, yeah, I hope he sees this, but I'm not gonna make a big deal out of it. So you like passively say, like at the time, you're like, dude, what did you do? Like, oh, whoops, my bad.
It's probably still out there. It's probably still out there. I should look for that live
Yeah,
track.
totally look that up.
I'm gonna get in trouble for telling this story, but this is so topical to what you said. I'm just gonna have to do it. So 2 nights ago, I had a dream that I was looking through Sarah's phone and I'd found out she was sending nudes to some other dude. And my anger in this dream was not the digital infidelity. It was, well, why didn't I also get these nudes? Because I feel like the hard work of sending nudes is the taking the nudes. At that point, anybody who you think deserves the nudes should get a copy of the nudes. So that was essentially saying, I didn't deserve the nudes.
That's a
And
legitimate gripe.
I woke up and at first, how sometimes you wake up from a dream, you don't really realize that it wasn't real a dream, so you're kind of still feeling the emotions of it. And I was just so smurfing angry. But then after I thought about it more, I was like, I was really happy with the George Costanza-ness of my dream logic. Like if they would have had sending nudes in 1996, that's exactly what George Costanza would have said about it.
That is a pretty Seinfeld plot there. Like that's a, Yeah, no, that's exactly a Seinfeld plot. So, yeah. Anyhow,
Anyways, boy, that was a side thing we went out on.
Phoenix, side
boom.
note, if that happened in my household, well, the other way around, if something happened and like my wife dreamed I did something, she'd be so mad at me the next morning, probably half the day, and I don't even know why. I didn't do anything, but she thought I did. Yeah,
Right.
that's
Well, I
actually.
mean, sometimes your brain can't help that. The like chemicals in the association are in there, and you're like, I'm angry at you, even
Man.
though I know you, the human person, did not do this thing I'm angry about.
But you're still mad. You're still angry about something,
Right.
aren't you?
You're
Yeah.
still mad and you're still associating it with that person.
Don't
Well,
talk to me.
but then you get mad
Why?
at yourself because you're mad for no reason, for a stupid reason. You're like, I'm Right,
just being so
right.
dumb, and then you're mad at yourself being dumb. But hey, Robotech, hey,
Yes, yes.
this intro once again. I was gonna skip it this time, but I'm like, I can't because it's so it is because it is it rules.
Yeah, it absolutely rules. And I agree.
It's a
There's
great intro. It's a great intro.
no argument for skipping it ever.
Yeah, no, it's so good. It's like you don't skip the Stranger Things intro because the theme song rules, but
Right.
you don't skip this because it's the best montage of all time. So.
Right.
You know the voice of the narrator. Every time I hear his voice and that da 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 that music, I know immediately it's Robotech without even seeing it. His voice plus the da 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 music every single time. So
We get another recap. So basically, you could have skipped episodes one and two, really, which is
right,
fine.
because this tells you everything that happened in episodes one
But
and
it would
two.
have been
It does.
terrible to skip it.
It would have been terrible to skip, especially
Yeah.
episode two. But
Well, yeah,
you
because you
do
know what?
get,
They didn't recap the plot about the bricked robot and the neighbors being angry about it, which
which
is
was which
still
was
the best thing so
which we
far in
love,
it.
yeah. Which
Yeah.
yeah, which ruled. But what we do get another clip of that shot, that one shot with from like when Minmay's falling down and the battle pod's gonna step on her. Which is like
Right.
one of the coolest shots in all of Robotech. So that was cool. So I gotta bump this up a little bit. And Lisa finally gets Roy to come clean that Rick is a civilian. And man, she cannot accept this. She's so mad. She
She
is
like
melting down.
gets the vapor. She's like faint
The
from it. Whereas
rest of
I
the
don't know which one it is, but someone else on the bridge was just like immediately turned on by it. They were like, a civilian, eh? Like they were into it. Like that was her kink.
Yeah. Oh, this is good. And Claudia was just like was and Claudia and Glovel are like dying laughing at this. I'm like, brother, you are like the supreme commander of this ship, and like somebody stole one of your experimental fighters, and you're like they're laughing about it because your XO is just like thinks it's fun is
Yeah,
having a
the general does not care. I mean, we're making fun of her, but really, she's the only professional here.
She's right. That's the thing is she's
Right.
right. And
Dude,
everybody else is.
they just had their anti-gravity pods fly out of the ship. They just had like half the Macross City destroyed by the civilian. I mean, there's so much bad going on there. Like, dude, whatever. Okay, cool, he's a civilian. Let's just move on.
Right.
She's like, no, this one thing I'm mad. No.
And Roy's playing it off like he's just like, oh, I know what's going on. He's a civilian. This dude's a total character. So, here's a little, here's some cool little, military facts for you though, that I wanted to throw, that I meant to throw out in episode one, but, I forgot until now. But, in episode one, during that first battle, Roy says that they ask him how many enemies he shot down, and he said only 10 this time. Which is just it's a line that just kind of goes over you, but this is actually insane. This is that number is absolutely bonkers because so like the designation ace technically means you have five confirmed kills or
Right.
five wins, right? So you shot down five enemy fighters, and that's a that that is a that is an achievement, right? So that's five total. That's five in your life. If it takes you 20 years to and you shoot
Right.
down five enemies, you're an ace. You are an ace there. So, but you can be an ace in a day. In World War I or World War II, there was ace in a day where guys would make ace in a day. And you can also be a double ace. So if you have 10 kills, you're a double ace, or 15, you're a triple ace or whatever. So Roy got double ace in a day. And that's nuts because that was like that's some like Red Baron level nonsense. That's
Right.
Eddie Rickenbacker stuff. This is dudes in biplanes did that kind of stuff. But
I mean, they're sending out like a million missiles at one time. You're gonna hit 10.
yeah, well, yeah, but all well, yes and no. But so So there has never been in the jet age, there has never been a double ace in a day. And so do you want to guess what the total number of wins for the top scoring jet ace of all time is? The total number of kills that the best jet ace of all time has.
23.
So
I'm going with Price is Right rules. I'm gonna go one lower, 22.
22. So it's Giora Epstein from Israel. He has 17 kills. 17. That's the best record of all time for a jet fighter. So for an F-14 though, which is
Actually,
essentially
to win at Price is Right, I should have said $1.
you should have said one kill,
I
right?
should have said
One
$1. I
kill.
didn't play Price is Right at all. But go ahead.
So the F-14, which is basically what the Veritech fighter is based on, how many aces do you think exist as F-14 pilots?
Seems like a trap question. Two.
One. There is one F-14 ace. Do you know how you know what
So
the
I
ace is?
could have
Never.
played Price is Right then and got the
Could have.
accurate answer. That would have been the first time that ever happened in history.
Right,
Got it
exactly.
exactly. We got a double prize for that.
So Jalil Zandi from Iran, he has 11 confirmed kills.
Man.
11, yeah. So jet age aces are insanely rare. So the fact that Roy had 10 and he was double ace in a day is amazingly cool. So yeah, there's your military history lesson for the day. I've been spending a lot of time at the Naval Aviation Museum lately, so I've been very
All
much
right on.
delving into these
Still.
things.
Good job. Further
So,
on.
yeah, we get a really cool battle with some random Veritechs and battle pods around where Rick was crashed. It was really cool. But poor Rick tries to get away. He wants to get away from this because remember then in the last episode that they killed that Zentradi. And he tries to get away, but this dead giant has his ankle grabbed, and he can't get away. He trips and falls down. He's trapped by a dead man here. Some horror movie business going on.
And Roy laughs at him.
Yeah, Roy laughs at him. Even he was the one that killed him. He was the one that killed that Zentradi.
What I really want to know from this though is what happened to Stone Cold Roy Fokker? Because he, last episode he was just shooting dudes in the back, but in this one, instead of just breaking off that giant's arm or blowing it off, it's like, oh, I'm just going to take the cockpit.
Well, it was kind of weird here because I feel like the last one ended with Roy right there by Rick, and then he was gone. Did you remember he
Yeah, they
that?
were together, but he had said he was departing.
Oh, he did say he was okay. Well, good. I'm glad you remember because I thought the timing was like way off here. Like he was he came in, he shot the dude in the back, and then he just flew back. He came back to
Yeah,
help
because
the
remember
hero.
that I think that was the context in which they had the exchange of, oh, maybe I'm going to take your child girlfriend from you.
Right, he
Okay.
flew off, that's right. And then he
Yeah, well,
came
then
back.
Rick had the whole nervous breakdown thing where he went catatonic and
Yeah.
couldn't fly
Right.
or that's right. So yeah, Roy like takes the nose cone off of Rick's fighter and like carries like a little football. He got like a little football. Carries it. And which is a cool little feature of Veritech that we never ever see again in this series. Spoiler alert. That was cool.
He like attaches it to the bottom of his arm like the cannon. And
Right.
the beauty of this is during this entire scene before he makes it back to the STF-1, it changes into his cannon every so often, depending on the frame. And like looking like it's gone, it's back.
And this is the episode where the animation definitely starts to drop off because they really front loaded those first two episodes, and this is one where I was like, there's a couple times where I'm like, this is not so like, especially like that and the scenes of the STF-1 flying around where it was clearly just a static cell of them like pulling it closer to the camera,
Take the
making
picture,
it
take the picture.
settle. So they're going to the SDF-1, and Roy tells Minmay that after the war is over, I will take you back to Macross Island. I'll take you
War.
back in a few years. I'll take you back to Macross Island.
Like, does Rick think it's like the 3-hour war or something? that's just
Hey
ridiculous.
man, you never know how long the war. It's just that wording, like, hey, as soon as this battle's over, I'll take you back home or whatever. But the war, I'll take
Yeah,
you
the
back
war.
when the
A
war is
war
over.
entails more than one battle.
Right, exactly. Like, what if this happened during like the sack, like the taking of like Paris in World War II, you know? And you're like, oh, sorry, I'll take you back to England when the war is over. And you're like, well, that's like 6 more years. So I gotta sit here and occupy Paris for
Hang
six
out in my
more
cockpit with me while I do that.
years.
Also, again, I love that he entrusted Rick with a giant killing machine. But once they get back on the ship, he was like, hey, don't wander around.
Yeah, this is top secret. The thing you had
You
was
know,
awesome,
you're
but
gonna get lost. And
oh, I mean,
also, I could just take you with you on my thing to go talk to everybody else, but I'm not going to do that because you're not military. You
I'm military.
can fly around the plane, but you can't ride on the golf cart with me.
No, I can't. Well, before that, there's a funny part where they're talking to the bridge over the comms or whatever, and Rick calls Lisa that old sourpuss. It's like, who's that old sourpuss? And man,
They
she
all
freaks out
die.
again. Poor Lisa has a rough time in this episode.
The
Whole bridge crew just starts laughing so bad, and she's like, boo, boo, boo. I
old
think
sourpuss.
Roy makes mention of it too. Yeah, he
Yeah,
does.
yeah. No, it catches on immediately.
He gets slick though. He's all like, hey man, if you think she's a sourpuss, you're not mature. Like, I'm like, oh, he's trying to get with Claudia and with Lisa here.
Course,
And
it's Roy, man.
dude, Roy is, yeah, dude. Yeah. So this is trying to do like another massive laser bombardment, which is cool. But like you said, Roy just dumps he dumps these kids in like some random hold in the STF-1. Like, where is this? And he somehow in the middle of a battle got the maintenance crew to fix up Rick's little fan jet, his little stunt plane. It's all fixed up and there for him.
Yeah, it's just in this random place. Yeah, this it's almost like someone forgot and left it in the closet somewhere.
It's not in a hangar. It's just in like
No.
some giant room. Like, how are you gonna get it out of there? Where are you gonna go? Like,
I feel like it was like the equivalent of like a broom closet. Like, you
yeah,
know.
totally. And there's really not much else there for them. They've got to like find their way out now because they're not gonna stay there. Obviously, the hero of the show is not gonna just hang out in the closet in this giant experimental top secret ship.
Right.
So then we have the next plot point.
Well, he tells them like, you guys have to stay here because this is all the secret stuff's going on. And I'm like, you're in the middle of the most classified like secret thing of all time, like an alien spaceship, and you're here. Just stay in this part of the alien spaceship. Don't like, I know we've already unveiled our top secret fighter to you, but there might be some stuff here. You're not allowed to see some of
You've
this
already
stuff,
flown it, I mean, but
right?
don't do more.
Yeah.
Trust you here, bud.
Oh my God. Yeah, the so the does the Zentradi just blow up everything around the SCF-1's in space at this point, but they blow up everything around the SCF-1. These poor other spaceships, they're nothing. They're toast.
Well, let's be honest. There's they didn't well, we already know they didn't plan for this war to happen now. They were it feels like almost they were developing weapons. They were developing like the fighters first. Like the battle platforms or whatever in space. They were just like hunks of metal that had these tiny little ships on it. I mean, really, they didn't know what they're gonna face. Even though they seem to have taken into account that they're gonna be giant people coming because they had this giant battle fortress that they downscaled to people size. So you would think they would have thought about all this stuff.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense because, like, okay, the SCF-1 it like is alien technology, so it's like you can't retrofit everything in that to be like human size. So is there stuff in there that's giant size? But like the stuff that they build from scratch using that technology, it's like, well, yeah, just build that to human scale. So that kind of makes sense because they're basically like orbital defense things that they launch fighters off of those little platforms, which
And
is
yeah, they're really cool, honestly. I have nothing
perfect.
against them at all. They're just not really equipped for this kind of stuff that's
No,
happening.
no. There's a really cool scene where they're on the bridge and Captain Global's like, wow, he's like talking about, you know, all the stuff. He's telling everybody to get ready for the space fold, but like the perspective is like low. It's like from his knee, and he's got his hand out. It's like he's like the cover of like a it's like the cover of Limp Bizkit's $3 Bills, y'all. Like it's like a graffiti rapper guy with the hand.
Right. Oh, it's Cole's perspective though. I love it.
It was cool. It was cool, but it just made me think of a rapper. It made me think of
Oh, it
like
did. Yeah,
a
it totally did.
graffiti
It
there.
looks so cool. It looked like that's just like it's this epic kind of pose. But yeah, now you think of that is totally ruined for me. So thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I was loving it until then.
The captain gets his mojo back in this scene though.
Oh
You
yeah.
know, like he's been kind of a pushover for the first two episodes, and this one he's like, no, I'm gonna fold space, and if you don't like that, I'll slap you in the mouth.
We got a lot of back talk. It, like
Yeah.
we can't do the space fold. We can't do that. We can't do that. And like he's just like Claudia tries to talk him out of it. Lisa tries to talk him out of it, and he's just like I am the captain of this ship. Like I am
Yeah.
like
Yeah,
he's literally
that
like back of my hand.
kind of like yeah, it's a
He
lot
is.
of figured out kind of energy going on.
Yeah,
So.
man. If I was him, I would start smoking the pipe at that point too, because it's like, don't tell me not to smoke a pipe on the bridge. This is my bridge. I'm gonna smoke a
Right.
pencil, smoke a pipe, wear a coat, wear a hat. Yeah.
Let's take a second to realize that you just don't see that anymore. I know it's like because we grew up, you know, smoking wasn't as taboo in movies and shows and stuff. It's just kind of cool. You just don't see the sort of thing. You know, nowadays it probably would have been like smoking bubbles or something. It's just kind of cool seeing him. He's like got that big coat on and the captain's, which like, by the way, the captain's hat, it goes like this big sometimes and it's just like regular size. But he just like sits back there with that coat. He's like, yes, we're going to space fold. It's so good.
He does a lot of plotting. He does a lot of plotting, but all right, it's time for the Jason segment. We gotta check in on old Jason on Macross Island, because he's this Mimi's family is talking about how smart and brave she is, and she should be okay. And Jason just goes, yeah.
And by the way, we'll find out very soon. Jason is right.
He's
Mimi's
absolutely
kind of
right.
dumb.
Jason's the real hero of the show the whole time.
Jason's the realist. Like,
Oh man. Oh my God.
Jason's like, should have got my Coke. Sorry, guys. Here's the truth now.
Man. Rick decides he wants to get in this fan jet and take off with Minmay. This is a single seater fan jet, and man, we get some innuendo. We
Yes,
get
we do.
constant. Like it got like uncomfortable how much don't sit there, I can't reach the controls, and Minmay just kind of giggles about it, and like I'm like,
I really was waiting for him to say it's gonna be a bumpy ride.
really like
Like I was just waiting for it. It's like I honestly was kind of disappointed that they didn't go for it.
needed a reference to the joystick in there at some point. Like, I can't reach the
Yeah.
joystick, Minmay. Like, let me help you, Rick. Like,
Oh.
I needed. Yeah, this it got real. Yeah, it even did the whole like, can two people fit in this thing? And like, yeah, if they're real friendly. And
Yes.
nah,
My note for this scene was just friendly.
Yeah, they got pretty friendly, and yeah, she was kind of all over him here too. She got a little huggy on
Right.
old Rick. And
I
man,
mean, so far we're 3 for 3. Every episode has had some horn dog moment. They're definitely trying to entice them 13-year-old boys into watching this.
I mean, it's anime. I mean, come
Right.
on, it's anime.
Come
It's gonna,
on.
I mean, no matter the era, it's gonna have. I mean, we can probably go back to Speed Racer and find some.
Right.
Trixie running around with, you see an upskirt of Trixie or something like that, or like Speed, what does this gadget do? You know,
Oh, reach
yeah,
between your
I
legs and grab the
mean,
joint, the stick. Yeah, I there's they actually feel like they did a little bit of that, and I gotta be an apologist for this movie. I really like the Speed Racer live action movie. I feel like that it had a little bit of that innuendo that they couldn't quite put in the old anime.
okay, so first of all, you like the movie because it's great. That movie
Yeah,
is
I was about to say,
I love it.
did we all just become best friends? Because I love that movie.
It's fun. It's
That is the second
beautiful.
best Wachowski movie. after the first Matrix.
Yep. Anyways, yeah. So there's so much of that put into that movie where you didn't see the anime. So you can, when you watch the anime, you kind of put those innuendos in your head and it makes complete sense. Same thing here.
Yeah.
Those innuendos are there whether you like it or not, because that's what you think should be in there.
Right.
Yeah, that movie rules.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I haven't watched it in a while and I really need to, because
Yeah.
that movie's fantastic.
I had a rival at the theater that how we ended up becoming friends was we both realized we were the only guys working there that liked that movie.
Weird.
Yeah.
It
That's
was like,
yeah.
it was so good. It was
Yeah.
yeah, that movie was great.
It was exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah.
But all right,
Anyways,
y'all. All right, y'all. We fold in space.
we are
No,
folding.
it'll go off just fine, just like the lifting off did. No
Oh, it
problems.
goes real well. So yeah. Global just he's like, we're using the space fold, which is, if you don't know, space fold's like a hyperdrive, basically.
Well, if you ever saw the movie Event Horizon, they kind of did a space fold.
Yeah.
Means, but yeah, you're at this point now. You're at this point. That's all space hold is.
Yeah.
God, Event Horizon is a great movie.
Oh,
I'll
100%.
never watch again in my life.
Why not?
Event Horizon is fantastic. I
It
used to know.
scares me too much.
Oh, it is so good.
Little Jehu is sensitive. He gets scared real easy.
It is
Used to know
a.
a guy that was a big he was a big like a kung fu guy, and he was into Buddhism or whatever, and said he saw that movie and said the movie had an evil aura and he would never watch it
Dude,
again.
it totally did have an
Oh, it
evil
does.
aura about it. I agree with Kung Fu Man.
You know, if you ever want to watch a good representation of the warp from Warhammer 40,000, that is the hell dimension is the warp.
Right
That movie
on.
is absolutely a prequel to Warhammer Oh yeah,
40,000.
it 100% is.
It's rad. And that was back when what was it? Not Liam Neeson, but what's his name?
Sam Neill?
Lawrence Fishburne?
And when Sam Neill was just
Sam
making
Neill.
banger after banger, because he did like
Yeah.
Jurassic Park, he did that, he did Mouth of Madness,
Yes, Mouth
all
of
those
Madness
shows,
is
and like
so good.
Mouth
It's
of
got
Madness is great.
great.
Mouth of Madness
My
is
wife.
like the best not H.P. Lovecraft movie.
My wife hates that movie. She thought it was the cheesiest thing she'd ever seen. I showed it to her kind of
Mouth of
like 3 months
Madness?
ago. It's a fun movie. It's okay. If
I've
you
watched
look
it
at
every,
it
I've bought
objectively,
it
it's not a
recently.
good movie, but it is a great movie.
I man, the end of that movie is so predictive of what social media would be
Yeah.
10, 12 years before social media existed.
Yeah.
You know, even though you hate it, even though you know that it's wrong, even though you destroy the, you know, it's destroying the world, you just grab your bucket of popcorn and go sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a fantastic movie. So this space fold scene is very cool.
Oh, yeah.
They use some really cheap and real dated looking effects that are just their camera effect. It's not like animation, it's like actual
Right.
camera effects. It reminds me of low budget horror movies from the 70s and 80s, like when a character would go insane or something like that. Like they do this weird like split vision, double vision.
Right.
And I thought it was super cool. They do so there's like some negative stuff and weird stuff with color going on. Kind of Ralph Bakshi-ish,
Yeah.
remind me of like fire and ice type stuff where they just did they did weird.
Also love the rotoscoping.
Yeah, well
Ah.
they did like weird camera effects in that too that weren't necessarily rotoscope, but like yeah, they just did like weird like camera stuff while they were filming it. But this was cool.
I gotta get a pad of paper to write on all the movies I gotta watch again now.
Right.
So, but we find out they were supposed to have space folded to lunar orbit to beyond the moon, but they didn't carry the zero and they went to Pluto, so
Yeah.
they're at Pluto
Hey.
orbit, which is bad.
Which is very dated in itself.
Yeah,
We're just gonna go around
yeah.
this weird orbit of this planetoid that's out there in the middle of nowhere. At the
And
time,
then the
going
captain gets
cool.
a call on a cool space phone. That's a great looking space phone.
That was a cool space phone. Yeah. So, and in the process, they also space they space folded all of Macross Island, a chunk of the ocean, a bunch of air,
Right.
and all this stuff with them. Because apparently, when you space fold, it just takes a bubble with you, and they were too close to the ground, which just
Well,
made this body lose their minds.
I think they did make a point of saying that the shelters were airtight in the earlier part of the episode.
Yes.
Oh yeah, they did, and yes, and I appreciated that, but it was the fact that the Zentradi were like, you can't space fold that close to a planet. They were like, Britai was losing his mind over this. Like,
He
can't do
knows why.
that.
So is all like dimensional travel and space time travel? Is it all a globe? Think of the Terminator. Terminator, you show up, it's like a carved out perfect globe. So they did the same thing.
I can say that's cool. So Rick and Minmay like fly out of the SDF-1 while this is going on, and so they fly out into space, and the whole ship freezes. So there's just ice everywhere, and there's like the silliest exchange here, where like Rick like wipes the frost off of the glass, and Minmay goes, "Oh, Rick, isn't it romantic?" And he just goes, "Yes, it is."
What I love is when she's like, "Can we go outside?" And I was like, "Does this bee not know about space? They're in space." That's what I was talking about when I'm like, "This chick's not too smart. She just wants to go outside in space."
Man, look, man. I mean, she's basically just like Kesha, really. She's like a child
Oh
version of
my
Kesha.
God, she is.
Well, would you trust Kesha to know about? Well, actually, that's a bad thing, because Kesha is actually apparently pretty smart. W would you, like, would you expect like 15-year-old Taylor Swift to be smart about space?
I'm not a Swiftie. I don't follow her. Maybe.
See,
What
I don't know. I
about?
think she might be an evil genius,
She
but
might be. Christina Aguilera when she was
no,
15. Would she
okay, not at all.
know?
Nope.
Christine,
She
well, definitely Britney Spears. Britney Spears at 15 would not would have wanted to walk outside in Well,
space.
Britney Spears would have just pulled the emergency release on the candle
Okay, let's go
immediately
outside.
and tried to dance
Right.
ice or something like that. That would have been nuts.
I love how we had to progressively go down people who we think would be dumb enough to do this. That's
We
a
found her.
highlight
We
of this
found her.
episode so far.
I'd say we found her.
It's funny when you said Taylor Swift and smart, my immediate thing was to say, yeah, Taylor Swift was smart, but I was talking about wrestling because she was Jeff Jarrett's babysitter.
Oh, that's
Did you
right.
know that? Yeah,
That's
she
right.
was
That's
Jeff
right.
Jarrett's kids' babysitter.
That's
So
right.
she was
Yeah, I
smart to the
totally forgot about that.
business.
Yeah.
Maybe
She
not
was
smart to
smart for the business.
space.
Yeah, you're correct. She's yeah. That's one of those things that like I read like a big article on that. And I was like, great, that is amazing. And then I completely forgot about it, and I would have never remembered that or thought about it again until you just.
That's how I mostly live my life.
Well, yeah,
I
that's
learn
how.
things and then I forget them. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, you're telling me that thing I already knew.
But it's cool. It's like you learn it all over again, and it's even better because you already knew it, and you're like, oh yeah, I already knew that. So you get the superiority of already having known it, but you also get the rush of having learned something new. So you
100%. It's a great way to live your life.
I forget
Man,
more
the
stuff from now on.
endorphin hits are strong this episode.
Right? Yeah, I need to forget a lot more stuff.
No joke.
Man, I wonder if I forget like everything about Warhammer. If I go play it again, it would be like playing it in 2001 when I first played Warhammer.
Right.
It would be as cool as it was then. I'm
We'd
gonna
have
try
to
that.
re reread all the Horus Heresy, so it'd be kind of cool in that way.
Yeah.
It's
So
required reading.
but Rick and Min made some they use the rockets on the fan jet, which is good. I mean, because normally the jet wouldn't work in space, but we established in episode one that it does have rockets. So and they make it back onto the ship, and they crashes into some straps.
Yeah.
Upside
Yeah. He's kind of awful all of a sudden. He's like one of the worst pilots now.
Right. Well, I mean, actually, I'll defend him here because like flying in space is different than flying
Oh
at you.
yeah.
Like,
I
so it's like,
imagine it is. I mean, I usually fly in space. It's been a while though, so.
right. Because I know you're rated for atmosphere only.
Yeah,
So
well, so, actually, yeah, I'm suborbital. That's it. I start,
orbital,
yeah,
right?
suborbital. That's as far as I can go though. I'm not certified any higher.
And that was the episode. Was there anything cool that we glossed over there? I
Oh,
mean,
only thing you glossed over was my favorite scene in the episode,
oh, that's
which
how
is
every episode that I gloss over your favorite scene. What?
the very end when the captain walks off the bridge and just lights his pipe and says, in the most casual way, it's going to be a long trip.
That's so good.
And that's where I decided this guy is bipolar. Because he goes back and forth from being just like meek to being like barrel chested back of my hand to like whatever.
That's the scene where I realized like he is the best character so far in the show.
He's yeah he is yeah he's amazing.
I just you know, a lot of other, you know, they would be like say Star Trek Voyager, like we have to go that long, it's gonna take so many years, and like they're all freaking out. Or you go to, you know, BSG and they're like talking about like, well, we gotta find, you know, the colonies, or and then here he's like, it's going to be a long flight. Lights up. He nothing phases him. He has lost the engines to lift him out of the atmosphere. They have space folded to Pluto instead of the lunar base and taken Macross City and water and Pete, all the people, civilians with him. And he's got a civilian pilot who's lost in the ship somewhere. Doesn't faze him.
Yeah, no,
Oh,
his reaction is same Smurf, different day.
we forgot to, God, good Lord, that's great. We forgot to mention though that when they space folded, the space fold, they lost the space fold
That's
system.
right, it
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
disappeared.
That's what the call on the space phone was.
Right. It was
They
that we
called him
lost
on the space phone to tell him space
the
fold doesn't work anymore.
no, it didn't no, it
It's
wasn't that it
gone.
didn't work. It's that it folded out of the ship.
Oh
So
yeah,
like
it's gone. It
gone.
disappeared.
Like it didn't break, it's just gone.
This
Like
ship yeets everything that helps them. The anti-grav pods, the
Good.
space fold after it space folds. Yeah.
Yeah,
All
they
right, good luck, buddy. See ya.
I mean it's good plotting. It's like, okay, we don't want to even leave the option that we could fix this thing. We're just going to disappear it.
It's
Gone,
gone, you
totally
know,
gone.
it
Like,
could have
yeah.
been like we need to replicate the parts. It's going to take 3 weeks to replicate the parts, and that time we got to fight our way back to Earth until we get to a point where we can space hold. No, it's gone.
Right.
But
It's
nothing.
gone, yeah. Like,
No options.
well, but that also shows how like unpredictable space folding is if you don't
Right.
understand how to do it. The Vitrati are good at it. Like those dudes space fold like crazy, and they're like they'll
Yeah.
space fold all over, even in the, you know, the universe, in the solar system. But like, yeah, the dumb humans, they don't know thing one about folding space. I don't know anything about folding.
Just
Right.
ask the crew of the Event Horizon.
Ask the crew of the Event Horizon. They those dudes suck at folding too. So yeah. So does Phoenix. Do some Phoenix suck at folding.
The bases bursting.
All right, where are we on this one? Where who's going to go first?
Yeah, you go for it.
One thing we didn't really talk about, or I didn't bring up in this episode that I meant to, was that a thing that I like about older science fiction that I think they corrected like the mid-90s or something is whereas technology was always going forward when you went to the future. Whatever graphics there were of the time of when you were looking at a screen was exactly the same as now. You know, like you know, if it was 1978, then what you were looking at on a screen looked like Space Invaders, even if it was set in 2022.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Did
Go
you
ahead,
please
go ahead.
go ahead? Go ahead. I'm
I have
sorry.
things to say about this, so go
Yes.
ahead.
So do I.
But so I loved that there was a sign of that in this episode. So I feel like young me and old me were in total agreement on this. We're giving this four vector graphics.
Nice. So yeah, they reminded me of something I meant to bring up during this. All the screens on the bridge have like words on them. Like some, they took stickers like from like a 1980s bridge setup for the STF-1. You know, I had a sticker that said some random word or these three letters and didn't make any sense. Like a lot of those, you know, you'd have like some weird, cool sci-fi battle station that had just random stuff that's supposed to be sciency, fictiony, cool stuff. Every screen on there had nothing going on except random part words on all these things. It was weird.
Right.
So
I
yeah,
mean,
man.
again, they did not expect a technology in the future where you could see that,
Yeah, exactly.
you know, like high def, widescreen,
Yeah.
pausing. They hadn't thought of any of that.
Yeah, to be honest, I think it came on channel like 13 in Pensacola. It was like back when it was like before USA was a thing. And it was like it didn't always come in really well because
Yeah.
it was like a
No.
local station. So yeah, of course you're seeing things that not high definition, also a little fuzzy and stuff. So yeah, that's what you generally
No, it
have.
was 100% a UHF station. It
Oh
was
yeah.
very haphazard whether or not you were going to see it well.
Yep. And so yeah, anyways, this whole episode, yeah, you know, the animation's a little wonky sometimes, but I don't care about animation as much as another person was, obviously, because I love the first season of Beast Wars. That said, the whole concept of stranding someone and then The ship is just like the ship is against them the entire time. Here, Space Wolf system, you don't need that. And then Captain Global being just the coolest character in the show, better than Roy Fokker, I will argue. Roy Fokker is a hotshot ace pilot. The captain is like, he's got all these ladies on the bridge who are yelling at him. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna go smoke in the corner here. My favorite character, Rick is easily be. I know he's going to become a great admiral at some point later in the lore. Right now, he's just really bad at everything, and Minmay is quickly becoming one of my least favorite characters. And I remembered again why she is. But I think we all need to recognize the true hero of the show so far. Person who's calling it like it is, Jason. And for that, I will rate this episode 3.5 Jasons out of five.
Right.
Go for it.
So first of all, if you ever freeze frame on the actual screens when they're showing text, it always through the whole Macross, it always says the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy whatever that thing is. It always says that. So which is cool. So the thing with the retro screens though that you were talking about, Jehu, I've been watching a lot of Alien Earth or Aliens Earth, Alien Earth, whichever it's called lately, which is I'm ready to I'll fight everybody in this town to get more seasons of that show. It's
No, 100%. Ed, I'm just going to interrupt you because I need to ask you, how awesome is the song at the end of every
every
episode?
episode, every the only one that
Every
was
episode is such a banger.
the only one that was banned was when they did that Jane's Addiction song, because I hate Jane's Addiction. But then I
See,
remember
but man, if you're going to have one Jane's Addiction song, that is the rocker.
that was one of the first songs I learned how to play on bass, and I was like, I'm gonna go play that on bass right now. And
Right.
I hadn't played or listened to Ocean's Eyes in probably 25 years, and I was like, oh
Right.
my, I remember every note of this song. This is amazing. But in the Aliens lore, they've kind of, not in words, but they've established that like old CRT screens with green text, they exist side by side with like holographic displays and like iPad
Right.
looking stuff. But basically, screens that look like they're from Alien, like they're from a TRS-80, those are for the poors.
Right.
And nice and modern things that look like they're current now are for the rich people.
Right.
And they exist simultaneously, and I think that's very cool.
I do too. I agree
I think it's
totally.
awesome. And because like I'm a massive fan of Alien, Alien, Aliens, and I think that show is right as of right now, as of me watching last week's episode, I think it's the third best entry into the Alien universe, period.
100% agree.
And I'm
Like
gonna,
it
if
is.
you don't mind, I'm gonna like kind of caution you there. I haven't seen the last two episodes because my dear wife hasn't been ready to watch them, and I know if I watch them without her, I will be eviscerated in the night. So if we keep it there because I haven't seen those two.
Yeah, no,
Yeah,
I
we
wasn't gonna
won't
go into
spoil
detail.
nothing, but you need to catch up on it because
Oh,
it's
I
awesome.
yeah, def I want to,
It's
dude.
I am the king of running behind on shows. I watch this this thing every time it drops.
Yeah, same. That and Platonic, I watch are like minute one drops for me. But yeah, no, I love Alien Earth. I think it's great. And it just solidifies that Alien Resurrection is the worst of the Alien movies. Still the
Okay.
worst of the worst of the Alien movies. That said, so Spacehold, this episode's very good. I feel like it's because it's like Evan, you were saying that this forms kind of like a the opening trilogy of episodes of setting the scene or whatever.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like this one's kind of a come down from the last episode because we got a lot of action in the last episode, and in
Yeah.
this one we get like that one little battle in the city, and then like a little tiny skirmish, and that's basically about it. But the story really, really unfo starts to unfold here. So from like an adult perspective, I think it's pretty amazing.
Oh yeah.
I don't, and the animation drops off a little bit, but I still think it's very good, and I'm ready to watch the next episode, even though I know that episode four is the bad episode, and I'm not excited about that one, but I'm excited to see more Robotech. I was really into it, so I'm gonna have to a unified score this time of ki kid brain and adult brain. I'm gonna have to give it four fat kids sniping Zack's Deadpool figure out of five. I'm gonna message Zach immediately after this and tell him that we told that story.
I gotta now. I'm really curious about why the next episode's so bad, so I can't wait.
Yeah.
Did they
It's
fall
well,
in the world?
I'm happy to have a bad episode because so far I'm starting to feel like I'm gonna be a mark in this since I've given every episode a good rating.
Right.
All right, so this is going to be the what is it, Arise Atlantis, or Atlantis Arise of season two of Transformers. So I'm good with that. They're gonna turn Merman or Sea Spray into a boy, and then that's they're all gonna save the universe and find the space folding machine. So I cannot wait. It apparently says something about lobsters, right? Did
Tuna.
he say something about lobsters last week? The lobster episode.
Tuna.
Okay.
Tuna. It's
Tuna.
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 Yeah,
I
tuna.
thought you were saying Uno. I was like, are they going to play Uno on this?
I mean, that's how exciting Wicked Inning are.
That would be better than what we get.
I mean, I was like, is that another reason why the rights of this are so wonky? Is because Uno makes an appearance in it?
Uno's very popular in amongst fictional militaries in 80s Japan.
Rick, I Uno reversed you. I love Roy now. That's complete Minmay. So I can't wait for that. It's gonna be fantastic.
Oh man, yeah, it's gonna for the real soap opera to kick in here. So yeah, but
Yes, it's
yeah,
gonna be
no,
real bad.
this was a blast, and
Just the sound of your defeat in your voice already just makes it worthwhile.
It well,
So
it's like I've said before. Every time in the last few years that I've tried to watch Robotech, yeah, then I've been like, I'm gonna watch all of it. I get to this next episode, and that's where either I check out. I'm like, this is terrible. I don't like this at all. Or I'm like, I'm just not watching it. And so, yeah.
So,
Can't
do
wait.
we have any inklings yet whether episode four of this is our next episode or if Transformers the movie is our next
I'm
episode?
about to pull it and just say we're going to do that, but I haven't got any inkling yet. I'm a little irritated by that. I was thinking about that yesterday, so I'll let you
We'll
guys
discuss
know
that. We'll
what's
discuss
up.
that offline. So,
Yes, exactly.
okay.
But it's coming,
That's good.
guys.
All right.
It's awesome to talk to y'all later. Have a great week. I have nothing to end this with except for it's going to be a long trip home. That's it. Y'all take it easy.
You
Bye.
needed a bubble pipe for that.
Oh, I'm going to have to get one now. Oh, I got my own pipe. I'm going to bring that next time. I got to get a captain's hat, though. Y'all take it easy. Have a great week. More Than Meets These Guys, a Transformers podcast, is performed by Evan Johns, Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com, and Ed Strickland. Research is done by Evan Johns, Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com, and Ed Strickland. Special thanks to Hasbro, Marvel, Skybound, and the occasional extra property, which we will name at whatever time is appropriate for that episode. And without all of you, this is really not even possible. So thanks for being here, and thanks for checking us out every week. Goodbye.